Radio. The transmission and reception of electromagnetic waves on radio frequency, especially those carrying sound messages, or the activity or industry of broadcasting sound programs to the public. Fanboy. A male fan, especially one who behaves in an obsessive or overexcited way.
This is the Radio Fanboy Podcast, and here's your host, Bevo.
Welcome to another episode of the Radio Fanboy Podcast. Like the big voiceover guy said, my name is Bevo. And this podcast is all about talking to the people we admire in radio. Some people have been lucky enough to make it overseas, and this guy is certainly one of those people. I've crossed paths with him at Hot 91 on the Sunshine Coast, and I've been a fan of his for a very long time. In fact, when I started radio, I used to call up his radio show late nights on Triple J in Sydney. We're catching up with Drex, who now finds himself in Canada. Hello, Drex.
Hello, Bevo.
How are you? Well? I was going to ask you the same question, but I've noticed that the Canadian accent has crept in, and you're now Canadian officially. Have you taken the oath or anything?
No, I haven't yet. But I've been here so long, and this is home now, that this is just the way I sound. My mother is disgusted with me.
She's going, Drex, just cut that out, will you? Speak Australian. Yeah, you're Australian.
She's like, you sound more and more American every day.
American.
That's
all right.
I'm
so,
like, well, I live here. I'm surrounded by Canadian accents, apart from the other 9,000 fucking Australians that work in radio in this country. So you know,
what's the Canadian word that sticks out for me? It would be about. How do you say about?
Well, it varies from coast to coast.
Oh, does
so
it? Okay.
the joke is a boot, right? Boot. Oh, yeah. Tell me a boot it. So that's more of an East Coast thing. So if someone's from Toronto and you don't say Toronto, you say Toronto.
Oh,
Toronto.
Right. Yeah,
Toronto. Toronto. Like it's really quick.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Toronto. Like if you say Toronto, they're like you're not from around here, are you? Right? It's Toronto. Almost like a Holden. Tirana.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? It's almost just like that. So that's more of an East Coast way of saying about. Whereas I'm on the West Coast, the accent's it's a little bit different. The accent's a little bit different, and then the accent's even more different in the middle, in what they call the prairies, where you've got Alberta and Saskatchewan and Manitoba and And that, have you ever seen the movie Fargo, right?
No, but I've seen the poster. Yeah, I remember having it up in the library at school.
Yeah. It was this crazy movie, and they had these weird accents, and there's these Midwest accents, and some Canadians sort of have a version of that accent as well. So it's like Australia, right? You know, people from Adelaide speak weird.
Yes, it sounds like they're from England almost.
Exactly. Yeah, it's the same thing.
So how are you, man? Like, you've been in a bit of a lockdown there. You've been doing your show from home. You've switched radio stations, and there's all sorts of craziness going on in Canadian radio at the moment.
Yeah, and I didn't just switch radio stations. I went from doing talk radio for so long back to doing FM mornings, like breakfast.
On Jack.
Yeah, the original Jack, the original Jack from 2003, the one that Triple M copied for a couple of months before they realized that they should go back to what they're good at.
I remember that format being discussed as they were bringing in, I think it was Vega. They said, oh, they reckon it's going to be like this Jack FM over in Canada. Like you ring up and you piss listeners off and so forth, but didn't quite eventuate that way.
Well, I remember when Jack had launched in Vancouver in 03 with Larry and Willie here in Vancouver. I remember I was doing casual stuff at Triple M in Brisbane.
Yeah.
David Reimer was the PD. Michael Price was the music director.
Pricey!
Andrew Chapman was there as well. Yep. Who else was there?
When you say Andrew Chapman, you mean Drew Chapman?
Drew Chapman.
Just to clarify, there's two Andrew Chapmans in Southeast Queensland. One
isn't there?
The one's a PD, right. One's a engineer. So
So Drew Boy, and I was just Al Dobie was there as well, and I'd been fired from FM 104.7 in Canberra because I pissed off Jeff Fisher the PD because he hated me, and Owen O'Byrne the GM, who interestingly a few years later. later at the Acris said no hard feelings, and I just made a face at him and walked away. So I'd been fired from that job, and Austereo had been having this kind of, I guess you call it a hiring fair, where these hopefuls would come in and they'd sit in the boardroom with like Sally Dobson and Rex, Rex Morris was there and a few other people. And they would get you to do like group exercises and stuff. I remember after that meeting, I got an email from Sally Dobson going, oh, would you be interested in, you know, maybe doing some stuff at Triple M as a casual? So I got to do casual stuff. And that's when they sort of started tweaking the format to be like the Jack format.
Yeah.
And it actually took Triple M to number one.
Oh, right.
I think it was maybe one or two books, maybe three. I can't remember exactly.
Interesting. So your beginnings in radio, Triple J, like you had the dream gig as a, was it a 17-year-old you started there?
Dude, I was 16. I was 16 years old. I was living in Foster Tuncurry on the mid New South Wales coast, just north of Newcastle. Yeah. Newcastle. you say castle now, right? You have to. He's out and weird. Yeah. I was living there. I did a week work experience at Triple J, and it was Rebecca Latorno who was doing overnights on Triple J, and she called in sick. I don't know whether I've ever told you this story.
No, never.
But Rebecca Latorno, who was also, a part-time journalist for Channel 7, maybe, yeah, had called in sick, and Robert Scott, who was the acting PD at the time, said to me, would you do a midnight to dawn shift? And here's me as a 16-year-old, a massive Triple J fan, had been since the early 90s when they went national, went, holy fuck, they're going to let me go on Triple J and be on the radio?
Yeah.
So I had a nervous meltdown and a panic attack and I shit my pants and I remember it was actually a Thursday night into a Friday morning. It was when Mikey and Helen were still doing breakfast.
Oh wow.
Yeah. And it was Thursday night, so it was the J file, so it was Richard Kingsmill.
Yeah.
And I distinctly remember them asking and taking me into Richard's office right down the other end of the Triple J building in Sydney, saying, this is Justin, which is my real name for those of you playing along at home. He goes, he's the work experience kid, but we're going to try him out on the radio, right? Because Triple J had a history of doing this, because Michael Tun wasn't the youngest person that ever worked at Triple J. It was actually Paul Murray.
Is that right?
Who's now on Sky News.
Holy shit.
Paul Murray. Yeah, Paul Murray and Katrina Roundtree used to host the Saturday Night Show
when
Paul Murray was 15 years old.
Oh, my God. God, I had no
absolutely
idea.
Yeah. So they tried me out and they put me on and they really enjoyed it. And I remember the next day Rebecca Latorno had sent a cactus to Robert Scott saying, yeah, oh, is my career at Triple J cactus because this guy is now on, because they'd put the work experience kid on. And as it turned out, it was. I don't think she hosted another shift. In fact, I took over that midnight to dawn slot, and I think as it went on at one of the others, and Jen Apostolou was doing another one of them, and yeah, it was a fun job, man. I was doing that while finishing high school.
Oh my God, that is just living the dream. And I remember calling you up when I started my first radio gig at 2XL. I think I was lying in bed and I was tuning around. The only other stations in town were Triple J and ABC, so of course,
yeah,
I rung up Triple J and here's you answering the phone. We had an hour-long chat about radio and you were asking questions. I was like, wow, this guy's so cool and young too.
Yeah, I'd done a little bit of community radio in Foster at Great Lakes FM.
That's right. I remember you saying that.
Yeah. And have a guess who I used to do radio with at Great Lakes FM.
No idea.
DB, the PD of KISS in Sydney.
Derek Barguana.
Derek Barguana is married to a lovely woman, but I used to do community radio with her when we were both teenagers Foster High School.
See, yeah, this is where networking comes into place. You never piss anyone off in radio, but it worked for you.
Well, she ended up sort of, as she graduated high school, moving down to Newcastle and working at NX and, yeah, KO, the Heritage, yeah, KO FM. So she ended up working there, and I think that's where they met. So, hilarious. When I think back to community radio, I think about the songs that we used to get to play, because there was different color-coded pods we could choose from.
Oh right.
Okay. And I don't think the oldies that worked at the community station liked us too much, because we were all very noisy 14-year-olds, 14, 15-year-olds that would get up to mischief on the weekend and go to house parties.
Oh, no. Can't get up to mischief, and especially most community radio stations. That's what actually happens. The oldies get really cranky at the young people, and the young people say, up yours, and you know, there's this division between the two. It's hilarious. Yeah,
I love seeing on the radio green room on Facebook now, there's a young guy that works at Great Lakes FM who is just as eager about radio as I was when I worked there. It's so cool. It's great.
Oh, you could see young Drex, doing the next thing like he was.
You know what? Bevo, and I'm sure you've seen it too. When I got into radio, there were so many sour old fucks that just wouldn't give you the time of day, right? And there was the occasional old sour fuck that would give you the time of day.
Yeah.
And you would just fall in love with them. And you know, if you find that person and you can attach to them, learn everything you can from them. And I think I'm turning into one of those sour old fucks.
Well, you're on talk radio, aren't you? You got to piss your listeners off and get a reaction. Yeah,
well, that's the weird thing, man, is I left FM radio back in 2012.
Yeah.
And did talk radio, and I only just switched back to FM. So it's very strange because I'm used to doing the sort of Stan Zimonic, Bob Francis style of talk radio where you have a stoush with someone on the phone, and now I'm just like, hey, here's Annie Lennox.
Oh, Jack.
Yes. It's fun, though. It's a hilarious show to do. So it's weird, man. I never thought I'd get the opportunity to do a breakfast show in a 3 million market in Australia, so I guess I had to come here to do it.
No, it's quite incredible, your journey. It kind of felt like I was observing your career and Ronnie Stanton's careers. You kind of intertwined a little bit. He went to Canada, you went to Canada. He came back to Australia, you stayed in Canada. He came back to Canada now.
Yeah. And so, we're gonna go for dim sum on Sunday.
Oh, there you go. See this? This is what radio is all about. It's all these friendships that you carry over time and networking, and you start off hating people and then become your best friend and then they become your colleague. So
And now here's my opposition, and I'm gonna destroy his fucking radio stations.
There you go.
Yeah.
From the horses.
I will say this though, and I'm talking a big game from a small boy. He's got the number one radio stations in the city.
Yeah.
So and I'm working at the number five radio station. I left the number one show to go to the number five radio station. So there's a lot of work to do, but he knows that I'm gonna be working hard, so he better be working hard too, because I'm gonna try and kick his ass.
Any radio cliches make their way onto your radio station, like cold hard cash and icy cold cans of coke?
Oh no. Jack is the most irreverent of irreverent radio stations there is.
Yeah.
That when you go to a, like when you go to, what is it, New Zealand? I think New Zealand has Fred. There's Bob FM, there's Jack, and Bob and Jack kind of started around the same time. It's kind of based on a sort of an adult hit sort of format, kind of like a WS or a 4KQ.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. But it's more the sort of 80s party end of it, obviously, because it's in Canada, there needs to be Canadian content as well.
Yep.
But the Jack format was built for this radio station because they needed something quirky and different and wanted to try it different. There's only one show on my radio station, and that's the breakfast show. And the rest is automated, but the way they do everything is the imaging is irreverent. Every piece of imaging
sounds like a lot of work, and you must have a team of writers writing that stuff.
Dude, it's incredible what they do. So the voice of Jack is a guy by the name of Greg B. Harrell. He used to be a radio DJ here in Vancouver, and he's one of those really quirky comedians that just tries really interesting, different, strange things, and they just work.
Yeah,
he's the voice of Jack, but he's also one of the main writers for the station as well. So you've got Rob Keeley, who's the production guy for Jack. You've got Jay Helmus. He's another production guy for Jack locally here in Vancouver. You've got Terry Chan. You've got Corbett Rotze. You've got Jeff Winskill, my boss. And then another guy by the name of Troy Scott. All of these guys have an open Microsoft Word doc with each other.
Yeah.
Where they're discussing different irreverent ideas and coming up with really silly irreverent lines for the radio station, to the point where Greg is sitting in his studio in Los Angeles where he lives, because he does a syndicated show from one of the radio stations there. And they'll be going, oh yeah, this is the line we want. He'll quickly record it and email it off to Rob Keeley, and it'll be in the system wide orbit by that afternoon playing
on
air.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
That is a quick turnaround.
Yeah. They don't screw around, man. It's an ongoing discussion and document that they have open. They're always coming up with, you know, if it's something about a sporting loss, you know, if a local sports team loses, they'll always write something tongue in cheek about how bad they are. And it'll be on air before the game ends.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is the power of radio, isn't it? Like, seriously.
Yeah. Absolutely.
There's hardly any other mediums that can turn something around that quick and have it broadcast to its audience in, you know, minutes, basically.
And you know what? Radio stations try and simulate it, and they do a pretty good job of it. There's so many great audio producers in radio right around the world, and especially in Australia, that are running tape and running PVR on everything. Yeah. Right? They're rolling tape. Anything. If someone talks, if someone farts near a microphone, they're rolling tape. Right? You know, I remember when I was working at Triple J. If you ever met Jeff Bowser, who worked at Triple M, that man, that motherfucker had so many DAT tapes full of bits and sound and clicks and bits from movies, and he was the guy that inspired me I'm sitting right now in my studio at my house, and I've got two 5 terabyte drives in front of me that are full of audio clips.
Wow.
Because of guys like him, because of Jeff Bowser, I'm like, wow, I should be collecting everything, because, you know, good broadcasters should have sound effects and beds and all of that sort of stuff. It should come with you where you go. Don't expect the radio station to have it for you.
No, you got to create the magic. That's for sure. It's just your medium to shine, as it were. Jeff's a great guy. He's got such a filthy, dirty voice.
you've almost pegged him. Good on you. He's going to love that.
Yeah, he's just got that really dirty voice. He used to voice Maroon and Millie at night, their imaging and do their
all of
their
my God.
And stuff. So that's taking you back too. Let's talk more about Australian radio.
Can I just tell you real quick? Yeah. I noticed that the job was open at Bay FM in Geelong to work with Millie. And I for a split second, I thought about applying.
Oh, did you?
Because she's so fucking funny, man. She's one of the funniest women on Australian radio. How could you not pass up an opportunity to work with her?
I know, right? Like, everyone that works with her just loves her,
right?
Yeah. We came funny, close, man. You almost came back to Australia.
Almost yeah
but you know,
I'm not a Cats fan though, so
no, it's fair enough.
Yeah, I'm the only Australian in Canada that isn't a Cats fan.
Is that right? Is
yeah
that cause
yeah,
you're talking about Ronnie.
Yeah, because Stanton's converted them all to be Cats fans.
Right.
I'm like, dude, you lived in fucking Geelong for 5 minutes.
Yes.
And suddenly you're a fan of the Cats. Yep. Like, what? Please, come on. it's a massive wank.
Yeah. I totally get that. Let's talk more about Australian radio, your time growing up here. Who are your idols growing up as a teen fan of radio here in Australia?
Oh, my God. Steve and Jess, B105 and Gary Miller on Triple M.
Yeah. You heard their podcast, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
I'm now friends with Jessica Gale.
Awesome.
On Facebook because of your podcast.
Yes.
Yeah. No, because I grew up on the Sunshine Coast, right? I went to Burnside High School in Nambour.
Yeah.
I grew up listening to 4SS. And I remember when, you know, as I got a little bit older, I finally got my own stereo in the room and had, you know, FM radio, and I could pick up B105 and Triple M, and I could pick up Triple Z and Triple J, and I would listen to all of those radio stations, and I would intently every night switch between, like, oh my God, like all of my listening, like as a teenager, was between Steve and Jess and Gavin Miller.
Yes.
Like, I was switched. So Gavin was on Triple M and Steve and Jess on B105. And I was like, wow, these are the three best radio shows ever. And I would switch back and forth. I wasn't one of those ones that recorded off the radio, but I was a listener of it.
Yeah.
So no. I was there most nights.
I recorded a lot of stuff back in the day. When Gavin Miller was doing nights on Triple M, was that the Rubber Room or the Budskies?
I think when I listened to it, it was the Rubber Room. Yeah.
And it was with Mike Goldman. I'm pretty sure, wasn't it? One stage?
I don't remember Goldie being there. I know that he was there at some stage, but yeah, I remember Gavin and Gavin and his partner came over to Canada a couple of years ago, and we had dinner and we had a great chat about radio. It was so much fun.
Oh, awesome. Awesome stuff. Drex,
it's really cool to meet your radio idols like that, especially like I've still haven't met Steve Fitton, but one day.
Yeah, I'm the same. I've spoken to him many times on the phone and interviewed him and so forth, but never met the guy. And now he's at my old radio station working with my colleagues. Yeah, down at WSFM.
Oh, my God. That's cool.
Drex, thanks so much for joining us on the Radio Fanboy podcast. So good to catch up, man. It's been so long.
Thanks, Bevo. It's been fun.
the Radio Fanboy Podcast, hosted by Bevo and produced by Matt Fulton Productions. Dan Hill speaking.